Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to An Hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today is going to be an open mic day. If you're like me, my goodness, you just had such a busy, busy holiday, and interacting with all kinds of people. We had a full house at our home, and I just hope you had a fabulous time. And if you're like me also, you're out, you're walking, you're doing something, you're saying, now I got to boogie all those pounds off from all the goodies that I ate. It's really one of those after effects of a holiday that you spend with family and friends where there's no rules. You just have a great time. Well, I'm so delighted to be with you today, and I want you to know this is, again, an open mic hour. So if you would like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. You can call in at any time during this hour. Here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, I wanted to share a number of things with you today. I have some information on self-made millionaires. I mean, we're very, very close to a new year, and I know so many of you are writing out resolutions. But I thought I would focus on attitude for today, because sometimes when you're in the holiday season, there are these tremendous patterns of activity. You're going a mile a minute, you're doing all kinds of things, and it sort of can go into a slump afterwards. So I came across something that Max Lucado wrote, which I really, really appreciated. And he titled it Seven Ways to a Joyous Day. And I thought, this is really a good way to start out a show, because if we incorporate an attitude that we are in charge of ourselves, we're the ones that will be able to make the difference in our environment by just the way we program ourselves. And I really want to use the word program, because we can do it in a positive way or a negative way. And he had found that he had gone through all kinds of experiences in his life, and he said, you can have something flip your otherwise positive environment. It can be bad news. We got news about a very dear friend, for example, who had a massive heart attack, was taken to the hospital. They haven't been able to figure out what prompted it, what happened. And these things can happen at any time. You can have a medical emergency. You can have a situation that is dealing with a child that's unexpected. You can have all kinds of events occur, like another friend of mine that got invaded by rats and had plumbing that ruptured in her room and just flooded everything. I mean, there's just an unbelievable array that if you believe in Murphy's Law, if one thing goes wrong, it just sort of seems to snowball. Well, Max said, turn it around. Turn it around. And I really liked his attitude, so I thought I would share it with you. And he said, if you are feeling like you're trapped, and if you're in a holiday slump and you've got this dark little cloud that's hanging over your head, let's see if we can get you out of that. First, fretting about stuff, being anxious, doesn't solve anything. And he said that as a person that's up in front of the public frequently, he's always, gee whiz, am I going to be good enough? Is this going to work out? Is that going to work out? Is the other going to work out? And he had someone one day when he was going through a lot of anxious moments, and they listened to him talk, and they said, you know what, Max, you need to just get a grip on something and just shift your attitude. And he said, well, how in the world do you do it? And this friend told Max, I just assume everybody's going to like me, and I'm just going to enjoy them. He said, it's just something I do. He said, you're nuts, to himself. However, he decided he was going to try to take and use his friend's attitude of assuming that other people liked him. And he said he made it a regular thought habit. And he came up with a concept, and it's a sentence that he often repeats to himself before he is interacting in a social environment or in a professional environment in front of others. Many of times it's perfect strangers. We're all here because we're comfortable with one another. Isn't that a great attitude? We're all here because we're comfortable with one another. Now, that's his thought patterning. Now, there's a fascinating aspect about thinking. When you have that kind of a thought patterning, it sort of ripples out. You may or may not have heard the theory about how the flapping of a butterfly's wing in one part of the world can affect something thousands of miles away. And it's that very aspect of understanding that we're putting into application here. You have an effect on the people around you. And he said it changed his attitude about the world. In fact, instead of feeling like he could possibly be a victim and things could be very menacing, he decided that wasn't where he wanted to go. And I can remember when I was a kid, one of my parents saying to me, and I was in a funky mood, I think it was in my teenage years, and they just looked at me and said, you know what? You have a way of just turning everybody upside down. You have a way of affecting a room when you just walk into it. Little did I realize how significant a statement that was, but I can remember thinking about, I didn't say anything. How in the world could I affect anybody? But I was really in a funk. And other people felt it. And I was young. I didn't realize how strong my emotions were. Whereas as an adult, I learned about that. And, of course, we all have had the experience when we come in contact with someone where we're repelled by someone who goes, whew, I don't want to be with that person. It can happen when you walk into a house. So what kind of a thought patterning are you putting out? What kind of energy are you emanating? Makes a difference. And Max said something for him, it was forgiving freely. Now, that was a challenge for him. He said he had at one time had his own radio show, and someone criticized him horribly for something he had done. He wrote an article about Max. He made statements that were totally false. Max first got mad. Then he felt sorry for himself. And one day, this went on for a few weeks. Have you ever had that happen to you? It's happened to me. And it went on for a few weeks, and Max said, what am I doing? I am letting one person robbed me of my joy. One person robbed me of my joy. He said, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to let them do that. Now, let me share with you something that came up in a conversation yesterday with one of my guests. We were having Christmas dinner. And afterwards, we just sit around and talk. And it's just one of the most wonderful experiences that we thoroughly, my husband and I, just absolutely enjoy when we have company. It's the opportunity after a nice meal to sit and have coffee and tea and a little bit of something sweet and just have a good conversation about anything and everything. And so something came up regarding attitude, the very thing I'm talking with you about today, and thinking. And one of my guests had done something to make it okay for someone to put a sign supporting a particular person in her neighborhood. And she and her family said, yeah, we'll just go ahead and we'll do this. It's no big deal. Well, she gets out of the blue a letter from a very, very dear friend that she'd known for years. And this friend makes a statement in the letter that they're just not going to have anything to do with her because she had a sign about this one person in her front yard. She said, this is terrible. She wrote this long, intense letter that was absolutely negative. Well, my friend did something that I thought was very, very special. She said, I developed a habit a few years back. When I get something that's really agitating that I can't really do anything about, but it really bugs me, there's something, it's upsetting to me or whatever, I put it aside for 3 days. On the third day, after whatever has evolved, and in this case it was a very nasty letter from a supposed friend, I went back and she said, and I reread the letter. And I said, well, this person really isn't a friend, and that's okay. Because it's nonsensical, but this is this person's attitude. And if this is this person's attitude, it means that they never really were a very good friend of mine, and they're taking a particular stance. And she said, I just made it okay. I'm not angry with her, nothing. She said, I just released it, and I let it go. And that's what forgiveness is. You need to let the hurt, the anger go, and you move on. You're not stuck. That other person may be stuck. You don't have to be. Max said the other big issue for him was not to be fearful. He said, I got into this patterning of fear as a male that he was going to have a heart attack. He said, oh, it's just awful. I felt like I was going to have this. So he said, I got into exercise. I really did all the things that I thought I was supposed to do. He even got involved in the Ironman triathlon. Now, apparently, he had had something in the family history, and there was a potential of a heart problem with him. Well, the years go by, and he said, I'm doing everything right. He goes in for an exam, and the doctor says to him, you know what? You need to know something. You have a patterning here with your heart, and it looks like you're going to have surgery. Well, Max was just devastated. He said, Doc, I've been eating right. I've been exercising. I've been doing all the things that are necessary. What do you mean I'm going to have this problem? He said, it was then I had to come face to face with my worst fear, and that was cardiac arrest. He said, I made a big mistake. I thought instead of facing my fear, I could run from my fear. I put Band-Aids all over it, and it didn't work. So he said, now I trust and I release, and I just know if there's something I'm afraid of, I have to face it. And he said, I believe also, and this is another component, live passionately. He said, look over in your life, depending on your age, but look at those moments that you've just loved, those moments that you've savored, those moments that have just been the ahas in your life. And he said, realize that that is what you call a dollop of passion that you can pull up anytime you want to make you feel good about your life. He said, others also, get over things. Get on with your life. If you find that you wanted to be a musician and you discover you can't be a musician because you're tone deaf, get over it. You can still appreciate music in a different way, but move on with your life. Don't stay stuck. And one of my favorites, because it's what I really believe in, and that is being aware of your blessings. It's so easy to look at what you don't have. It's so much better when you look at what you do have. And then he said, color your world. And I like this one quite a bit, too. He said, I choose my color for the day. If it's yellow, if it's red, if it's magenta, but he chooses something. And he said, I just hold it in my mind. And he said, it makes my day the way I want it to be. So I thought I would share with you those thoughts, because if you assume that you're going to have a good day, you are going to have a good day. If you put in your mindset that wherever you go, only the highest and best is going to be there for you, it will be that way. If you have an experience that's not a particularly happy one, if you find something is shortchanged in some way, that you don't think it's there right, get on with it. Move on with it. Life has so much in it that is so vibrant, rich, colorful, abundant, and beautiful. That's what you need to focus on. And what a wonderful, wonderful way to start your day and to affirm what it is you want demonstrated. But start with yourself. Start with yourself. Start with your attitudes. Don't look outside. Look inside. I'll tell you, one of the greatest tools that I've found is a library. And this may sound corny, but to me, my books in my library are like dear friends. And there's some that I will go and I'll visit sometimes once a year. Maybe I won't visit them maybe for 10 years. But they have something special for me. And over the years, because I am an avid reader, as all of you know, because of the guests that I have on the show, when a book becomes your friend, you'll find you're never lonely because there is that comfort in whatever is in that book. It allows you to put you back in touch with yourself. And you know what? A book never criticizes you, never tells you you're stupid. But whatever is within its pages can uplift you, inspire you, motivate you, make you cry sometimes, and make you aware that your life can be just as rich as you want it to be. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Today is an open mic day, and I invite you, if you should want to give me a call, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. All you need to do is call me at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up. We have a marvelous, marvelous lineup that we're going to be finishing this year with. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Serena Williams. We're going to be talking about the passion and the paycheck. This is so significant and so very, very important. I know that you are really going to be able to enjoy it. And then, Fit and Fabulous in 15 minutes. Do you think that's possible? Remember, I mentioned when the show opened, oh, we are all going to be out jogging today and being saying, oh, we've got to be good today because of all the goodies we had yesterday because New Year's is coming up. Well, Teresa Tapp is going to be my guest. And Teresa is an absolutely phenomenal woman. I met her personally. She has a figure that is absolutely amazing. She was involved with rehabilitation for others, so she's got a knowledge of how to keep yourself fit and fabulous. We're going to be talking with her on Friday. You're not going to want to miss this. And then on Monday, on New Year's Eve day, we're going to be talking to Alan Smith. We're going to be talking about unbreaking your health. You know, we are evolving so quickly into an understanding of what is going to be helpful to us, alternative methods. There are breakthroughs that are occurring on so many levels, so Alan is going to be sharing some of that with us. And then on New Year's Day, we're going to have a best of Donna because I'm going to be spending my time with my family, as so many of you are. It's going to be a break. And then on the 2nd of January of the new year, we're going to be talking about giving thanks, a wonderful way to start a new year. MJ Ryan is going to be my guest, and we're also going to be talking that week, a week about kids' ethics. Bud Bottoms is a man that believes you can teach these to children, and it is good stuff. Also, healing, meaning, and purpose. Dr. Petty, MD, is going to be with us, and so he's going to be talking about that aspect of wellness that is going to be important. And I think it's a great way to start off the year because what's the old saying? If you don't have your health, you don't have much of anything. So that is our upcoming lineup, and I wanted to let you know. Give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. Money, 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 money. It's something we all are going to deal with in one way or another. So many of us will say, oh, I wish I were a millionaire. It would be so easy for me to handle everything. Well, America, we just have so many people that have reached that million-dollar mark. Well, if you think of a millionaire, you often will visualize someone that's involved with Wall Street, and they have all of these jets and, you know, what's the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, right? Well, that's not necessarily true. Many people who are millionaires today are not living in mansions. They're living in your average neighborhood. They still work full-time. They shop in discount stores, just like we do. You know, we're always looking for bargains. And they said the biggest thing that when it came to being rich was important to most of these people was not about buying more stuff, not about getting the bigger boat or the bigger car or the bigger whatever. It was having the freedom to be able to choose to do, be, or have anything that you wanted. That is what really is in the minds of many of the millionaires that were interviewed. Kristen Lewis did an article on this, and she said there was a spectrum wealth study, and apparently this is done annually, of America's wealthy. And in this study, they found that there were more people living in the millionaire level than ever before. In fact, the number of millionaires have nearly doubled in the last 10 years, and they are getting wealthier and wealthier. And this is a point of information that I did not know, that to make it onto the Forbes 400 list of the richest Americans, if you're a billionaire, that doesn't make the cut anymore. Now the requirement is that you need to have a net worth of at least $1.3 billion. Ho-hum. Well, people are learning how to work with money more and more effective. So in their research, they tried to find out from these people, what are the 5 points that are going to enable you to become wealthy? Number one, you need to set your sights on where you're going and what you want to do. And there was a gentleman, Jeff Harris, who said he never thought he would be wealthy. He started to work as a grocery store clerk, worked in the junkyard, and he said, I worked right alongside convicts. He said, my wife and I were just totally broke. And he said what helped him pull out of this is that he always believed one day he would be rich. And he said wanting to be wealthy is a crucial first step. The biggest obstacle to financial independence is fear, he feels. If you're afraid to think big, you're not going to make it. You'll only achieve small things. And what he got involved with, he found he had a knack for being a stockbroker. And that's what did it for him. The second point is to educate yourself. You must be financially literate. It's very important. And also, what was important is the willingness to save. The willingness not to just go and spend everything. If you got a $10,000 bonus for the year, maybe you take $1,000, do whatever you want with it, but that $9,000 is put away. You just don't go and blow it. And there was also an aspect where they put 20% of whatever they had in capital into investments. And within 10 years, they were millionaires. It was quite an amazing process. Once you understand the basics, you can do just about anything. Doing what you love. Doing what you love. If you get into something that you really have a passion for, that money is going to be working for you. And this is, again, consistency that each of these people worked with. Grow your money. They say, earmark some of your money for the sole purpose of investing it in a place where it will grow dramatically, like a business or real estate. Look at something that will make your money grow. Seed money. Need to work with it. Put it into something where it's going to work hard for you. And then, no guts, no glory. No guts, no glory. He said, you've got to be willing to make a change. You have to be unafraid of shifting into something new. Very important. The biggest single most component for people to attain wealth is to stop the spending. Be able to use your money wisely. And with every interview that they did, when it came to someone making a lot of money, the primary thing that all of them had in common is they didn't spend their money needlessly. Think about where you put your dollars. Some of the richest people spend their money with a middle-class mindset. He said, believe it or not, they're clipping coupons, they wait for sales, buy luxury items at a discount. Warren Buffett is a good example. He's the third richest person in the world, lives in the same home that he bought four decades ago in Omaha, Nebraska, for $31,500. This man could have any home in the world. He could not possibly spend the money in a lifetime that he's accrued. So there is this mindset. How are you going to put those dollars to work for you? And that's where becoming educated is so very, very important. Where are you going to put those dollars? You start off with $50 a month. Save your money, maybe put a little bit aside until you get a nice little nest egg, and then look where you want to put it so that it's going to work for you. And the compounding effect will absolutely work miracles. And that is a fact. That has been historically known. Anyone that I've ever known that has done well financially, they've done it. They kept their credit cards, just if they couldn't pay them off, they didn't use them. They didn't acquire any more debt than necessary, and they were really frugal. There's a wonderful story about a business in the area that I live in, and that's Tacoma, Washington. And this gentleman had a bakery. And there was a couple that had survived the horrors of a particular atrocious genocide in their own particular country. And they came to America. They didn't have any money. And he agreed to sponsor them. Now, interestingly enough, the husband had been quite wealthy in his country, but he lost it all. They escaped with their lives, the clothes on their back, and that was it. When they went to work in this bakery, they both, the husband and wife, had to learn all about the bakery business. And the man that owned the bakery, he said, I can pay you so much money, and then I can give you a place, a small apartment, it's nothing fancy. Well, the couple said, we'll take it. Now, they worked for this baker for a number of years. The day came when he wanted to retire, and he let them know that he wanted to retire, and this woman's husband asked, are you willing to sell the business? He said, yes, I am. He said, how much do you want for it? And he gave him a price. And this gentleman said, we will buy your business from you. During the years they had worked for him, they had been so frugal with their money, very, very frugal with their money, to such a point, they were able to buy this bakery with a cash down payment that was phenomenal. They took over the bakery. They had learned all of what needed to be done. And this man that was the previous owner and themselves, they stayed very good friends for years. But this man who had lost everything was able then to buy a business with cash. And the man that had been the owner was just astonished. He said, I was amazed at what these people did. They wouldn't go out to eat. They wouldn't do anything if that meant they could not save their money. And he said, now they're financially independent. It's an incredible story. This is Donna Sebo. You're welcome to give me a buzz. We're going to take a break for just a moment. And when we come back, because this is an open mic day, hey, I can talk to you if you'd like. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Meanwhile, we're going to take a break. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or Canadians, 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And if you're a new listener to the show, welcome. We're delighted that you're able to join us. And all you need to do is call into the station, give me your first name or your initial. Then after that, let me talk to you and let me give you my perceptions, my insights, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anyone or anything that you like. I wanted to share with you some information that comes from a nursing association. We all hear the pharmacological ads that are run on television. And I thought that this woman's perspective, Marianne Napoli, she wrote this article, and I was so impressed with it that I thought it was worth sharing with you. And it's all related to direct-to-consumer advertising of prescription drugs and medical devices. Now, this isn't something that's really new in the U.S., but it is the prevalence of it. And there is a growing concern on the part, apparently, of many people in the medical profession. And there is a Meredith B. Rosenthal, who is the Associate Professor of Health Economics and Policy at the Harvard School of Public Health. She said, direct-to-consumer advertising has both negative and positive consequences, and empirical studies have demonstrated both. She said, clearly it increases spending, but it also increases access to worthwhile treatments. There are also public health issues to worry about. Is it generating wasteful spending? Are the messages misleading and causing patients to demand and sometimes get inappropriate treatment? Well, in the 1990s, there were television reminder ads that would be run. But the FDA said you cannot state what the product is for or how effective it is. They couldn't in the 90s do that. Now, in August 1997, the FDA started allowing companies to direct product claim advertisements, which do state the product's indications and effectiveness, to we, the consumers. Now, this is information I found extremely interesting. By 2001, the amount spent on direct-to-consumer advertising rose dramatically from $1.3 billion, $1.3 billion, to nearly $3 billion. Now, this is according to a study that was published in the August 16th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine by Donahue and colleagues. By 2005, pharmaceutical companies were spending $4.2 billion $4.2 billion, folks, on advertising to us. And Marianne Napoli, she is the associate director of the Center for Medical Consumers in New York. She said, this isn't a particularly good thing. What the industry, the pharmaceutical industry, is saying is that their ads are educational. But she said, they're only advertising the most expensive drugs and not anything that tells them they can get something via generics. And she also is a little bit concerned because there are what we call the lifestyle drugs, you know, dealing with impotence, menopause. She said the advertising on this is extremely heavy, and it conveys a message that the natural problems of life can all be treated with medication. She said they're telling us that there's a pill for every ill, and some of us feel that they're creating illnesses, such as redefining menopause as a hormone deficiency disease. Menopause isn't a disease. Not that at all. So there's a lot of concern on the part of different medical professionals, and they express concern about marketing to doctors and the inappropriate behavior it can engender, and marketing to patients. And the FDA in 2003 apparently conducted a survey of 500 physicians, which isn't a very big amount, to assess the impact of direct-to-consumer advertising. And you can go to a website that they have. It's fda.gov/CDER/DDMAC/Global Summit 2003. And 3% of the physicians said it affected their patients in practice very positively. 37% said somewhat positively. 5% said very negatively. 27% said somewhat negatively. And the remainder, 28%, said it had no effect. There was a study by orthopedic surgeons, by Bozek and colleagues. It was published in the May issue of Clinical Orthopedics and Related Research that was trying to evaluate the direct-to-consumer advertising. And they found in this study that orthopedic surgeons and their practices reported that surgeons and patients view direct-to-consumer advertising very differently. And this is what they found. 84% of surgeons reported that the benefits patients exposed to advertising expected from a specific treatment were unrealistic. 84% of the surgeons. Only 37% of the patients considered some of these advertisements misleading. So that's telling you that the people that look at this, if they look at it frequently enough, they believe in what they're seeing and think it's going to be a magic, whatever, and it isn't magic. Some of them considered the advertisements misleading. 57% of patients believed they were more aware of new technologies, devices, or surgical options because of advertisements. Whereas 77% of surgeons felt that the ads confused or misinformed people about appropriate treatments. And they said that the patients would come in asking for specific things that they had seen on television. And the surgeons believed that the advertisements did not adequately educate people on possible risks and complications associated with various treatments that they have to do and various implants. So this I'm sharing with you because it's making you aware of something. There are people in the medical community that are starting to wake up, and it's really a good thing. We've got a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hello, yes. I'd like to know if you connect me to my mother.
Connect you to your mother?
Yes, who has passed on.
Well, no, I'm not necessarily going to be able to do that. Give me your first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Elaine. I'm calling from Wayne, New Jersey.
Hi, Elaine. I know you've called in before, dear, and I want to thank you for calling in today. I hope you had a nice holiday. But when you said you want me to connect you with your mother, I'm not going to be able to do that. That's not what I do. I do sometimes receive information about people that have passed on. But I wouldn't want you to be misled. I wouldn't want you to have any kind of misconceptions about that.
Okay.
Was there something else you wanted to ask about?
Yes. Could you tell me who was vandalizing, stealing the flowers from my mother's grave?
I'm sorry, but I couldn't quite understand it. You want to know what?
Who's vandalizing and stealing flowers from my mother's grave? Is it the workers or is it somebody there?
Well, I think what it is, there is someone that goes into the graveyard. And when they see the flowers, they take the flowers and put them someplace else. And I don't think that they're doing it out of disrespect. This is going to really sound weird to you. I believe it is someone that is passing the flowers out to other people.
Putting on their own? In other words, they're putting on their own graves for their own loved ones?
For other people. I don't know that it's just for one person specifically. It might be, but I don't think so. It's as if I'm seeing the flowers distributed.
I can't hear you. Can you talk louder, please?
Okay. I believe someone is distributing the flowers. In other words, it's not just one place they're putting them.
Okay. Are they selling them?
No, they're not selling them, hon.
Because somebody told me someone to make money on them, and I thought that was kind
of... No. There might be something of that nature that happens occasionally, but I'm seeing someone doesn't have very much money. And yours isn't the only one that this is done with.
No, I know. It's been others also.
So what I would do, I would say when you take flowers to your mother's grave, you might want to mention to people at the facility that the flowers are disappearing. But I would say that just take them, honor your mother, and then let it be. Just bless those flowers. And if someone else is taking them, which I feel that they are, and they're putting them in other places...
Why would they put them in other places? In other words, for their own relatives, it would be...
It could be for any number of reasons, dear. Lots of people are not logical in what they do. So you might want to leave a note.
We've complained, and they said the workers would never do that.
I would agree with them. It's someone else that walks in the graveyard.
It's a mausoleum. And the artificial flowers.
Mm-hmm. So. I wouldn't worry about that. I really wouldn't. I would just take them and put them there and just, they just walk around the whole site that's there. I think if you can make it okay and just say, leave a note for them. And just put a note, say, please do not remove these flowers. They're for my mother. And if you need these flowers, then leave something, and you know, at least leave one or something, but make a note up. Don't get nasty with this. Because this person is not trying to be vindictive or anything like this. I just don't think they have very much money.
So in other words, they're taking it to sell them to get a few dollars?
No, that's not what I said. You're making the assumption. That's not what I said. But I would just bless it. I would just bless it and leave it there. They're artificial flowers. If you want to put real flowers in there...
We can't put real flowers because it's a mausoleum. We're not allowed to put real flowers.
All right.
So we bought a receptacle to put the artificial flowers in.
That's wonderful. Whatever you can do, hon. Every place has a different ruling. You know, some places allow them, some places don't.
Is my mother aware of who's doing this? My mother knows?
I don't think your mother cares.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make any difference, hon. You're the one that's getting stressed out over this. I would just say, continue to do whatever you want to do. And I put a little note there asking them to please respect that they don't remove the flowers. Now, they may still do it because I think it's not just you, it's other people as well. But it's someone that doesn't have very much money. So they're doing things with the flowers, taking it different places. What exactly it is, I do not know.
Well, if they put it different places, I don't understand what that's supposed to do for them.
I don't understand it either, but that's not an issue. Don't worry about it. They're just artificial flowers, hon. It's okay.
Okay, and also, is my mother going to start coming to me in my dreams?
That I cannot answer for you.
But she can hear me when I talk with her, right?
She's always going to be able to hear you whenever you talk to her. But this is a choice your mother makes, dear. It's not a choice for me to say this is what she's going to do. Your mother is an independent person.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to make it okay that she's going to do things in her own way.
Because holidays are very hard for me, and, it's very hard for me to think that, you know, I can't spend a holiday with her. It's very difficult for me.
Well, then let me make a suggestion for you. Put yourself into an environment where there will be some other people, maybe of maturing years, some other women that you can give some attention to, somebody that you really like that can be a friend. And that, I think, you're focusing so much on yourself, and I understand that point of the grieving process, because when we grieve, we're grieving for ourselves. The person that's gone on has gone on, but what you're grieving for is what you feel is lost. And what you're feeling a loss over is that actual physical presence of that person that you were so close to. And all of us are going to have to deal with that at some time or another. And so it's good when you can find someone else or a group of people or some place that you can become involved with where instead of focusing on what you think you don't have, you can focus on giving love and affection and caring to some other people. And it can really make a big difference for you. And I think it'll take some time, but everybody will handle their grief differently. But one thing I have found with most people, not all, but with most, is that when they stop looking at what they don't have and what they feel they've been deprived of, and they get involved with life, they stop running from life and get involved with life and with other people and or maybe animals or something, that enables the healing to come full circle. But you're living, you're here, your mother has passed on, and you're not going to be able to maintain that link that you would just love to force, but it's not there for, it's not your place to force that, and it's not going to happen.
You mean you have to just communication?
Yes, you can't force this, honey.
You can't force it. In other words, it's up to her. It's her decision.
That's right. Hon, I've got to take a break.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to go.
Okay,
but it's
thank
her
you.
Choice, not yours. You have a wonderful day now.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Siebel accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Siebel, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Siebel's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Well, before we know it, it's going to be a new year. Amazing, isn't it? I feel like I blinked and this year of 2007 has just passed by. It's absolutely incredible. One of the things that is very joyful for me, when I'm able to talk with people and I find out how deeply involved they are in life, the various things they've made decisions about, choices, whether they have reset their priorities, it seems like people more and more are wanting to take a look at their lives and say, where can I have value? Where is it that I can have something that's going to bring me a sense of fulfillment in my life? They've probably got just about everything physically that they would need, and it's as if they're hungry for doing something that's bigger and better than themselves. And I find it marvelous how people will make their choices. And a woman I was talking with just over this holiday period, she decided she wanted to become a particular kind of counselor. Someone else is looking at getting into the food industry. Another person is interested in the green industry of building. They said, I've got to feel like I'm making a difference in life, that whatever I'm participating in, I am making a difference. Well, Jen Ator of Hudson, Ohio, found that the venue that Jen ended up going into was totally unexpected, totally unlikely. Jen was working as a summer intern for a publishing company and was looking for stories about really extraordinary people in the fact that they were choosing ways to interact and help others around the world. And that's when Jen learned about a particular group of people that had a nonprofit organization called BEAD for Life, B-E-A-D for Life. Now, their goal is to eliminate extreme poverty in Uganda. And this is what they were focusing on. And there are three individuals that were in Boulder, Colorado, that when they were traveling, they saw something that they had never expected to see, and that is an impoverished village while they were vacationing in Uganda. Now, while they were there, in this extremely, extremely unpleasant environment, the local women were crafting these beautifully colored beads from recycled paper. This is what they were working with, recycled paper. So these three individuals, they were Denvin, Jenny, and Torkin, got really excited about them and said, you know, we want to take this back to the United States. So they made very good connections with the people in this particular village. And when they got back home, they were sharing these bracelets and necklaces with friends, and they shared them with them by wearing the jewelry. And their friends just loved them. They loved the unique wearable art that they were having. Well, the three individuals said, hey, we might be able to do something with this. So these three women in 2004 founded Bead for Life. Now, the jewelry at this time is sold throughout the U.S., and almost all of the profits are returned to these women in this village in Uganda so that they can buy food, provide shelter for themselves, have education for their children and for themselves, also be able to get medical attention if they need it, and more than anything else, it's giving them hope that they can take charge of their lives. Now, if you would like to learn about this particular group, you can go to beadforlife.org. That's beadforlife.org. But think about that. People on vacation, having an experience, seeing people, these women in a village doing something and saying, you know what? We might be able to do something with this. They're not a part of the world. That's the way genius works. Remember what I said about the ripple earlier in the program? Butterflies' wings can create a change on the other side of the world. You can do the very same thing by your choices. Don't ever forget, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, we've got a wonderful show tomorrow. Don't forget, we're going to be talking about the passion and the paycheck with Serena Williams. Talk with you then. Have a fabulous day. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.